about this after.
I got to figure out a way to grow 3 years worth of food here on a planet where nothing grows. Luckily, I'm a botanist. Mars will come to fear my botany powers.
I love that movie. It's a great book, too, if you haven't read it. But the movie and the book are fun and clever and kind of true in that they said, okay, what would life on Mars be like? How would you or could you survive on your own up there if you had to? And then it was sort of crowdsourced and became the book and became the movie. And it's all fun. But this isn't fiction now. The InSight lander is evidently on the surface. We reached out to Michelle Nichols, the director of public observing at Adler Planetarium, just to sort of put a bow on this thing, at least for us today, or maybe to get us started. Hey, Michelle, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. How are you?
Really good. I was so happy because we were able to hear on the radio, you know, sort of the 800 meters, 300 meters, the landing, and then the people at NASA all cheering, and that's kind of the touchdown moment, isn't it?
It never gets old. Yeah, that was exactly when you heard it. That's when NASA heard it.
So what did that mean, though? That was it actually landing on the surface then? It's there and so far so good?
So far so good. What the only difference is that there's a time delay between the radio signal going from Mars to Earth. So it actually happened about 7 minutes prior in actual real time, but that's exactly when the signal arrived at Earth to when we found out that it was successfully landed on Mars.
When is it going to start doing the things that it's going to do?
It's going to be a few months. The first thing they're going to have to do in the next few hours is deploy the solar panels, so it'll need some way to generate energy. And then they'll, over the next few months, make sure that the science instruments are working well. And then there'll be a robotic arm that will actually lift up a couple of science instruments and place them on the surface of Mars. They just need to pick which exact spot they want that's nice and flat, and will do what they need it to do.
Well, is it going to drive around? Does it have a rover on it?
Nope, this one's a lander, so this one needs to be as stable and as still as possible. So no wheels on this one. So it has legs, and it's just going to sit in one spot.
Yeah, and so do they know? I mean, are they tilted? Are they at an angle? Is it on a good level area? How do they know that it's not in a precarious position?
They had gotten an initial image from the spacecraft. So right after it landed, just a couple minutes after it landed, it sent an initial image. It still has a bunch of dust on it because there was a dust cover over the lens of the camera to protect against any dust that might fly up. But initially, looking at that image, it looks nice and flat. It basically landed on a parking lot on Mars. So that's exactly where they wanted it to be. So initial indications are that it is sitting exactly the way they want it to, but they'll know more over the next few hours.
I got to tell you, I just find myself in awe, you know, the wonder of it all. And just if you think about it like this, so somebody on Earth hits a button, 7 minutes later, that signal travels up there, and now magically an arm is going to deploy and begin to capture sunlight and charge a battery so this thing can do things. It, just that simple fact alone is kind of blows the mind, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you just got to feel for the folks who are on the team that something they built is sitting on another planet right now, right this very second, just got there, and got there successfully. And it's just, it never gets old, absolutely never, ever gets old.
What was the lag? I mean, how long have these people been working on this? How long has this project been at play?
A little over a decade, but some of the ideas for this spacecraft and the instruments have been around for several decades. There have been people who've been working on this their whole career, and so it's never quick to get something to another planet. So they had to come up with the idea and propose it and get it funded and get it built and tested. And the good thing with this one is, though, it was working on technology for landing that already was used on another lander called Phoenix, which landed on Mars several years ago. So they at least had technology that they knew worked once before. But it's never a done deal. Just because you did it before, it doesn't mean that it'll work this time around.
And it was in orbit for 6 months before it touched down today?
It was en route to Mars for about 6 months. So it launched back in May, and it basically just, it went straight to Mars. There was no orbiting, no stopping along the way. So this thing went directly from Earth to Mars.
How does it know where to go?
Oh, that's a great question. It's all physics. It's really Isaac Newton tells us how to figure this out. So, but they basically have to pick their spot and work their way backwards and figure out, okay, if we want to get to this spot, we have to be in this place in space, and then we have to get there this way, and we have to launch on this date at this time. So it's a whole lot of physics equations, but it all boils down to getting to a precise spot on Mars.
So in that case, then, to get it to where it is, just go and land means maybe when you lift off is just as critical, because that's when everything's
absolutely. There's usually just a very short launch window, depending on where you're going. If it's into Earth orbit or on your way to Mars or going to Jupiter or something, your launch window may be instantaneous. Like if you don't launch at this particular second on this particular day,
right,
then you got to wait another day. So yeah, it can be a pretty short launch window.
You know how when people go to the mall and they drive around the parking lot waiting for a spot? That's what I would have done on this Mars. I thought, well, I'm sure they're going to fly around a few times and just like, okay, everybody, are we ready? Because there's no second chance. Are you ready? But no, they just went straight in, huh?
Zoom. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, they did that before with the Viking landers. So the Viking missions to Mars, they did orbit for a while, and then they sent the landers down. But the these, they just go straight there. If you want to stick around and orbit for a while, you need more fuel, you need a bigger spacecraft, costs more money, all that stuff. So it all goes into account when they're trying to figure out exactly how they want to get there.
So what do we expect to get out of this mission?
We will find out something that we have no idea the answer to, and that is, what is the interior of Mars like? You'd think something that simple of a question, we would have known the answer decades ago, but we don't. We need a spacecraft that will sit there. We need to understand what the interior of Mars is like now, what it was like in the past. Is it liquid? Is it solid? Are there Mars quakes? Are there other things that can tell us about what the interior is like? So this is an extraordinarily important mission because everything under the surface, every single thing under the surface, we don't know. And so it's going to answer a whole lot of questions, hopefully in the next 2 years.
I'm a little worried about that drill because I don't know if there's a hard rock in the way, or to me that's
yep,
kind of fraught with peril there. How
will the Martians feel?
Well, the Martians already know everything. They know we're there, so they probably saw this meteor streaking through the sky when this thing landed. But yeah, the drill, hey, that's science. That's what you gotta hope that you built something that will handle the conditions that you've got. But you're right. If there's some crazy hard rock underneath and you just happen to put your drill right over it, well, you're only going about as far as that rock will let you go. So, but they hope to get that drill down about 16 feet.
Yeah.
So that would be ideal. But frankly, I bet you they'd be happy with anything. But 16 feet is ideal.
Yeah. And didn't a previous lander on Mars discover some sort of proto-organic matter? Do we believe that is there any hope of finding any evidence of life on Mars?
Not with this particular mission, but the next rover, the Mars 2020 rover, doesn't have its fancy name yet, but call it Mars 2020 for now. It looks a lot like the Curiosity rover that landed in 2012. but it'll have different instruments. That is the mission that's going to start to search for signs of prior life on Mars. Don't know if we'll find it, but that's the mission that will really have the science instruments dedicated to answering that question.
Got it. And we're going to be there again in 2 years? 2 years, huh?
Yeah, we're going to be there in 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a calendar. Yeah, and even more fancy landing system, but we used the same landing system when we landed Curiosity in 2012. So it's nice to use technology that you know worked once before. But like I said, there's no guarantee the next time around that it's going to work. But there's at least a better chance that you know that it's going to work.
And the astronauts that are on this mission, do they have enough food and water and oxygen to last them for a while?
Yep, the astronauts up on the International Space Station, who were probably watching NASA TV as this thing landed, they are just fine. No people on this one. Mm-hmm. Just a plucky little lander that got itself to Mars. And so hopefully over the next few months and couple years, we'll get some great science data from this.
Well, that all sounds terrific, Michelle. And by the way, did I see in some reporting of this that Adler Planetarium has any sort of connection, or was it just that you were, like other places, monitoring it? Has Adler done any work on this mission, per se?
No, not per se. We definitely monitor everything that NASA's up to. So we had a watch party there going on. So folks were there watching and cheering them on. I saw some video of that they posted to our interior communication system of that. So folks were there and they were excited and staff were excited. And it's just, it's a fun time. We like it when stuff goes well.
Yeah.
'Cause it's not as fun when it goes badly.
Anything else you'd like us to know about what's going on over at Adler before I let you go?
Oh, we've got our Space Odyssey Adler After Dark coming up in December. So if you want to have some fun for the 21 and overs, tickets are available right now. So go to adlerplanetarium.org for more information.
For 21 and overs, is it music and cocktails at the planetarium?
Absolutely. It's the best way to enjoy the planetarium. So
yeah.
It's the third Thursday in December.
Oh, that's good news. I'll pass that along again down the road. Our best to everybody over there in USA. I'm glad, you know, not just USA. I mean, I'm glad that America did this. I'm glad that humankind did this. I'm just...
Humanity, yep. Humanity landed on Mars today, for
yeah,
sure.
I like the way you put that. Michelle Nichols, the Director of Public Observing at Adler Planetarium. Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, John.
Bye now.